You are now entering the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.
Hello and welcome to this week's Movie Roast. I am your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. And I am here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find our show on Twitter at The Comic Roast, or you can find our sister website, review website, whatever, at Review and Roast. Our movie for the week is Batman vs. Robin, the 2015 DC animated movie. While Damian Wayne struggles to cope with Batman's no-killing rule, he soon starts to believe that his destiny lies with a secret society known as the Court of Owls. Directed by Jay Olivia, written by Bob Kane, Grant Morrison, and seven others. Jeez, that's a lot of people. J.M. DeMatteis, Bill Finger, Jerry Robinson, Andy Kubert, all kinds of people. Starring Stuart Allen, Troy Baker, Kevin Conroy, Weird Al Yankovic has a small role. Yeah. Kind of neat.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
This was Brian's pick, so I suppose we can let him ramble off the
synopses.
I guess, yeah, a little more of the longer story.
Well, of the people mentioned who were credited with creating this story, the most important one was Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder, who wrote this. It's based off of when the New 52 rebooted the entire DC universe. They rebooted all the 7 or 20 different main Batman stories, not including all the side stories and offshoots and one-offs and so forth. And one of them was just the regular Batman comic, which Scott Snyder rebooted with with what is now known as the Court of Owls arc, which is probably the most popular of the entire New 52 run, arguably. Of the New 52 books that came out back when it started all the way up to now, I would say if I had to pick the one that sold the best, is the most beloved, it's the most iconic, Court of Owls is hands down it. Maybe Brian Azzarello's Wonder Woman would be like number two, or maybe Green Lantern somewhere in there, but anyway, this is based off that story, and it starts where Bruce and Damian are kind of at odds over the whole no-killing thing, and Bruce always had these suspicions from when he was a kid, because there was this old riddle or this old poem that went around about the Talons that watched over Gotham and hid behind the limestone and essentially ran the city. And it was kind of like a little horror tale that kids would be told before bed. He got it in his head that the Court of Owls and the Talons were behind the murder of his parents. A mystery to this day has never been solved. And he dismissed it after his little investigation as a kid. But when they go on a night mission to stop the Dollmaker from essentially hoarding kidnapped children, Damian is met in the woods by the Talon, who is the head assassin of the Court of Owls, it turns out. If you know the story, you already know all this. And Bruce is not there when the Talon approaches Damian and says, you know, come with me and fulfill your true destiny. But he finds a feather, and he keeps it, and then he goes out on a night mission of his own and starts investigating. There's a museum called, like, the Hall of Owls. It's at the Gotham Museum. There's a Hall of Owls, and there's a whole history of ritual and owls and so on and so forth. And he starts to dig, and he starts to dig, and then he actually uncovers the Court of Owls and their purpose. And while he's investigating and trying to figure out a way to bring them down, Damian is going behind his back and exploring an alternate option as far as his own destiny. Because if you know the Damian Wayne story, he is the son of Bruce Wayne and Talia al Ghul, so he's kind of like the Kylo Ren here. He's got the dark side and the light side in him, and it's constantly tugging at him which way to go. So he wants to meter out justice in a vengeance style, whereas Batman is more of the, you know, no killing, etc., whereas Damian was raised by the League of Assassins or the League of Shadows, so to him, killing is justified for certain types, and he doesn't understand the purpose behind not doing it. So the whole concept of the Talons is attractive to him initially. That's kind of how the story develops as it goes on.
All right, so seeing as though it was your pick and all, what did you like about it?
Like I said, and this is something that's going to haunt me, I think, for the rest of my life. When the New 52 started, I jumped on board with some of these books right away. I jumped on board with Swamp Thing. I jumped on board with some of the Superman stuff. I jumped on board with two of the three or four different Batman stories. I remember I jumped on with Detective Comics right away and the main Batman story. I had Court of Owls number one. Something tells me in 20 years I'm going to kick myself for not hanging on to it. Exactly. I read that arc and a few of them that followed, and I instantly thought this is going to end up being a classic someday if it's not already being thought of in that manner. And I was kind of right. It's already turned into a... It's already got a bit of a year one Dark Knight Returns sort of vibe about it in terms of popularity and people. It's been pretty widely read. So right away I was interested. I also picked it because I like the DC animated movies. I think they're pretty good. They're the closest anyone's going to get to a true comic adaptation because they're actually adapting the comic directly to an animated film. I'm a huge Batman fan. That's another reason why I was wanting to see this. So were you asking me what I liked about it or why I picked this?
D, all of the above.
All right, well, what did I like about it? I love this. I love the Court of Owls story. I think the Talons, anything that has any sort of relation to or an extension of Ra's al Ghul, I'm automatically on board. Because I think even though Joker's probably the most famous villain, period, in all of fiction, he's in the top five. Arguably, like him, Darth Vader, Moby Dick, maybe. I don't know.
Moby Dick.
I'm just saying, like, you ask anybody to name a famous villain from fiction, and then the Joker is going to be in that list pretty high up.
Yeah.
But for my money as a Batman fan, I think Ra's al Ghul is a far more interesting antagonist than the Joker is. The Joker's definitely got classic stories, and you know, he definitely makes for great moments in Batman history, but Ra's al Ghul, I just think he's an amazing character that doesn't get used quite as much as I'd like. But anytime there's an extension of him in the stories and the movies and the comics and the books and the animations and so on and so forth, I'm in. Especially when they explain the whole origin of where his name comes from and what it means and so on. And even though, like, to the layman, the whole concept of a Lazarus pit seems kind of ridiculous, I think it's pretty awesome. What did I like? This was a pretty graphic and adult-oriented story, even for a PG-13 movie. I mean, this movie really pulled no punches when it comes to the gore, to the...
Some of the language,
the violence.
I was a little surprised, I'll admit that.
Yeah, I was... It was a really dark story, even as far as Batman goes. I mean, I have some other Batman animated films, and this one's pretty dark. There were a few moments I was just like, wow, this is... Even the end, which I won't give away, it has a sort of a conclusion that you would expect, but at the same time, not at all. it was more cinematic than just like, oh, we're making a cartoon for the kids. Yay! It was an adult animated movie. It felt like this could easily be made into a live-action movie that I'd buy it. Even the more science fiction elements of the story, they didn't feel hacky or shoved in there just to go, oh, we got to have robots because robots are neat. It felt like it could have been... It was for all of its speculative elements, it was pretty grounded. Plus, again, you factor in the whole secret society, Illuminati, the wealthy elites. It mirrors people's paranoias about today. And
at pretty much any day at this point.
I think there was like a long period of time where pre-internet, nobody gave much thought to these sorts of things, maybe in small little bingo hall type circles. But with the rise of the internet and all the different ways to process information, combined with all the world events that have happened in the last 20 years, these topics are on everyone's mind, whether they think they're ridiculous or they're believing everything they hear. I feel like 4 out of 5 people, if you mention the Illuminati, will at least kind of have a rough idea of what you're talking about.
No, I don't disagree.
Now, the problem also stems is, you know, there are people who think it's ridiculous, people that will dismiss it, but I think most people at this point they're aware of it.
Yeah. Well, going into this, the first 5-10 minutes, I was like, oh my god, I don't think I want to make this movie. I don't know if I can handle this, because it was just... Robin is, you know, he's a child, and he's just a super, like, spoiled, bratty know-it-all who's just being a total dick, and I'm like, oh god, I can't do this. But overall... yeah, quickly pretty much changed out of that once, you know, because like he said, it's more geared towards adults, or at least a maturer audience, a more mature audience. That's way better than maturer, fucking moron. But it really, like, I've never read the Court of Owls series. I've always looked at it and be like, oh, it looks neat, but, you know, no, because my pile's too big. But after seeing this, I could not want to read it more. It acts absolutely like it's a fantastic story, and the whole villain group, I guess you can call it, because it's obviously multiple people. Even with the doll maker, I was like, oh, that guy's kind of neat, you know? And then and that whole scenario was creepy when they were fighting the doll maker anyway, just all the kids locked up in cages being turned into dolls. It was just weird and creepy. Overall, but I mean, yeah, it was a lot better than I was giving it credit for right out of the gate. I'll give it that. Absolutely.
Yeah. The thing is that in the comics, the doll maker looks almost more like Leatherface than he did in this movie. They use the doll maker on Gotham, and I was kind of excited because they kept mentioning Dr. Dullmacher, which I was like, boo. But at least they're doing the Dollmaker. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, and it's kind of silly to change a name like that.
Yeah, and they did a little bit of a storyline on the earlier episodes of Gotham where they were kidnapping busloads of kids and they were disappearing. But then when they actually introduced Dr. Dullmacher, I was like, oh, God, they ruined it. They ruined it! Boo! And I don't know if they have plans for later on, but... There have been a lot of good things on Gotham, but there's been some total misfires, and that was definitely one of them. Took a really good current-day villain and just did it all kinds of wrong. So,
well, it even seems like even with, like I know a lot of people are fans of their version of the Penguin, and I was too when I was watching Gotham, but changing his last name seemed a little odd. Wasn't it always like Copperpot?
It's Cobblepot.
Always?
Yeah.
See, I thought that was different.
It's always been
I thought it was with peas before.
No, it's always been Oswald Cobblepot. Actually, the more I watch Gotham, the less I like the guy who plays Penguin.
I haven't seen it. I never even saw the whole first season.
I still like him, but he's starting to get more nasally and whiny, and it's hard to believe that he can command a group of, like, mafia thugs when he's like, go get him, dudes! It's like, oh, dude. On the flip side, the Edward Nygma character just keeps getting more interesting and creepy. So he's filling in the holes that the Penguin character is leaving. I mean, there's some interesting things. I mean, they've got some interesting things teased for later on where they're going to bring Paul Reubens on to play Oswald Cobblepot's father, which is kind of interesting, but yeah. Gotham's not the best example of a Batman story. It's got its good points, but it's got its...
Yeah, it's like a weird offshoot.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, not to get off track, but they did the Dollmaker on Gotham, and the one in this Batman versus Robin movie is significantly better, creepier, definitely has the horror, like dark crime noir vibe that the Batman story deserves. And the fact that it was voiced by Weird Al Yankovic, weirdest casting ever, but really good, because all I kept, when he kept doing, but I love them, I was like, oh God, it's giving me the willies.
See, you know, I was just as surprised to find out it was him, but I wish now I want to rewatch it because I just had no idea.
I didn't either.
Well, I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was effectively disturbing. Because when he's doing the, but I love them, I'm like, oh. Bleh. And then when I was like, that was Weird Al Yankovic? Oh, my God. And like, that was pretty good, actually. I mean, it was good. I mean, not in a good way. I was, oh, man, that character is weird.
Yeah.
And I don't mean in a good way. Oh, boy.
Agreed.
The only thing that Jeremy Sisto I generally like, but some moments with him as Talon was kind of like, ah, dude, he sounds like he's going to say surf's up any minute.
See, that didn't bother me.
And actually, the initial few minutes, because it wasn't the Kevin Conroy Batman, it was someone else was doing the voice of Bruce Wayne.
It was Batman. A little weird.
And I was just like, ah, I'm not used to this. Because in the Frank Miller animated film, Dark Knight Returns, Peter Weller does Bruce Wayne, which is perfect because he's like old man Bruce Wayne and Peter Weller is like old man RoboCop, so it was actually awesome to hear him have the old grizzled whiskey voice. And this one, I'm so used to Kevin Conroy in the video games and in most of the other animated stuff, so when it's not him, I'm like, huh, what? I don't, what? What's going on? But it takes about 10 minutes to adjust, but once you adjust, it's fine.
Yeah, pretty much. So was there anything you didn't like about it?
Initially, I was not a fan of the kid who was cast to do Robin. But when they go further and explain that Robin's only 10, you're like, all right, it's fine. Because the kid that does it is like 10 or 11 as well. But at first, he sounds so much like a little kid, and it's just like, I don't know. Plus, like, it's pretty common knowledge for comic fans, I think, that Damian Wayne is obviously Bruce Wayne's son. But for like the first third of the movie, he doesn't address him as his son. He keeps saying, you're my ward. And you're like, no, that's your kid.
Yeah, they keep talking about all the paperwork they got to do before he can officially be dad or whatever the hell the case is.
But that's just the thing. He's the biological father of Damian Wayne. And I just thought that dancing around it was pointless. I mean, I get that they were trying to establish the fact that the two of them have a very fractured and very delicate relationship because, you know, Damian was born of Talia al Ghul, and he grew up around the League of Assassins, and he was dumped on his father's doorstep at some point, kind of like, here, this kid's annoying, you have him now. However, it's been a while since I read Batman and Son. Anyway, point being, I don't think he needed to dance around the fact that he was the father. What else? Nothing really. I mean, some of these other earlier DC animated movies, they've injected a little bit of goofiness to kind of lighten it up a little bit, and they never did that here, so I was happy for that. They didn't feel the need to pull out one of the more well-known villains to please the casual fans, which was another thing, because I don't really have any complaints. Because they could have easily been like, well, the Talons are more comic fan, you know, recognizable. We need to throw, like, the Riddler in there so, like, the casual mom who buys this for her 8-year-old son will go, oh, look, it's got the Riddler on it, goofy Batman stuff, where this is not cartoon Batman. This is, like, a serious, you know, story. And, yeah, I mean, I really don't have any complaints. Other than, like I said, I don't recall them doing that in the comic, dancing around the whole, you know, biological father-son relationship. I don't ever recall that happening. I know in the comics there's always, and I've not read a ton of Batman, Damian Wayne stuff, but I don't recall them ever having that issue. They've definitely had some conflicts and some disagreements. Because, I mean, it's got to be weird when you're dumped off on this dude's doorstep and you're like, here you go, Batman's your dad, call me when you're 30, not real interested in talking to you right now, boom.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was supposed to only be, like, 10 years old.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
I don't know what that means. Is he or is he not?
No, yeah, he's that grade school age in the comics, but it's a thing, too, like, he's got static with Dick Grayson.
See, and okay, well, this is going to be my only real complaint then, because I just assumed he was, you know, at least like 13-14. I didn't realize he was 10. But like the whole movie, like, he's super cocky, which is typical of a child, of course, but like he is holding his own against Dick Grayson, against Batman, against all the criminals he's going out and sneaking out at night to fight. You're 10. I don't care how much kung fu training you have. Like, I don't know. It's just like at one point they're just like telling him, you got to start being careful. You can't go out and do all this stuff on your own. He's constantly out there holding his own against these adults. And if he's only 10... that's just a little too far-fetched. I mean, I understand it's animation, and I understand whatever, whatever. Bottom line, I think they should have made him a little older then. 10 years old seems too young to be able to be just taking down 3 adult-sized criminals with weapons, and all you're doing is backflips and kicking them. Like,
I don't know.
I mean, it worked, because I didn't realize he was only 10. It worked. I mean, the movie was fine, but... I mean, there was some points when he just gets a little too cocky, and it's like, ugh, it's annoying, but at the same time, like, he's holding his own, and he's backing it up, so...
Well, that's the thing. That's pretty much exactly how he is in any of the stories that I've ever seen him in.
Yeah.
And anyone that has ever read more, they're like, yeah, that's pretty much his MO. Like, Dick Grayson, as the kid, was the plucky, like... you're the best, Batman. I want to be your best friend. Yay! Yeah. And then as he gets older, he's more serious because he becomes a secret agent and all that stuff, and Dick Grayson becomes a badass, but he starts out kind of sucktastic. Then there's the Jason Todd, Robin, who's...
The Jason Todd.
Jason Todd, who's always like, you know, he's always living in, you know, Dick Grayson's shadow, and then he becomes the Red Hood, way better character. And then there's the Tim Drake Robin, who's kind of like, into it but not really, and then he comes back as Red Robin, as like the Assassin's Creed badass. I like the way they fixed the whole Robin angle, because in the beginning it was just like, it's a dude running around with a weird kid, alright, that's not creepy. And they're always happy and they're always wearing,
definitely makes more sense when he's his actual kid, but you know, to be running around with another 12 year old is just a little odd.
Yeah, but no, I it took a minute for me to get used to Damian Wayne's voice, because I was like, I'm so used to it. In my head, he never sounded like that. He sounded more like a, like you said, like a cocky 12-year-old.
I had nothing to go off of, so his voice actually didn't bother me. The only voice I could that never fit the face for me was just Batman. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't bad, but it's just like, dude, I mean, I've heard a million different Batman voices, and this one just, it doesn't fit.
I've actually heard one that's worse, but this was one of my least favorite ones for sure. But there were also some moments, too, where Batman was running towards the viewer or away from the viewer where the legs looked a little too Japanimation, which I was... They looked like they were just getting shorter and taller, which I was kind of like, that doesn't look...
I mean, it's animation.
I know, but I mean, I've seen enough animation where everything looks fluid, and this looked a little weird at times.
Yeah. Well, that's why animation is usually done side to side, not run on like that.
Yeah, I do like the whole combination of traditional and 3D animation because you can do those like sweeping camera angles and so on. But I just feel like some of the more prominent action scenes were skimped on a little bit in certain areas.
Yeah.
And that I was kind of like, ooh, that doesn't look good. But they only lasted like a couple seconds, so I was like, yeah, I'm over it. But like the close-up scenes of like hand-to-hand combat looked really good.
Oh, yeah, I have no complaint. Well, I don't have any complaints about the animation really at all. If it was bad at any point, I must have just been way too into the story to even care.
Yeah, plus I loved the whole love triangle thing. I thought that was... I don't remember that. And I mean, I'm sure if I go back and read it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, there it is. But I don't when they revealed who the head of the owls was, I was like, oh my god, I don't remember that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea that it was going to be that person
until she said, oh my god, oh, Bruce, and I was just like, what? But even still, when she like woke up with Talon, I was just like, oh, that's pretty hot.
I was trying to keep that low key, but okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'm used to Bruce Wayne's failed relationships.
Is there anything you would change? Any actors, voices, rather, I guess, in this case?
I would have Kevin Conroy do Batman, because as far as I'm concerned, as long as he's breathing, Kevin Conroy should be the only Batman that's not, like, in a live-action movie. Because he, you've played the Arkham video games, so you know what Kevin Conroy's Batman sounds like. He is the best Batman.
Well, that's because they haven't cast me yet.
Right.
But, I mean, I agree. That's about the only one. And maybe I would even go so far as the voice, whatever, but the look of Alfred, I just didn't dig.
Yeah, because, you know what? I mean, I've gotten used to the Michael Caine, even from the very first Batman movie. But more so, I've gotten used to the Michael Caine Alfred, which I love.
Yep.
I'm growing to get used to from the trailers of Jeremy Irons as Alfred, and I've gotten used to Ben Pertwee on Gotham as Alfred, who
I really
actually
dig him on there.
He's actually my favorite of all because not only has he got the grizzled old British old man thing going on, he's also got that like, yeah, I used to be an MI5 badass too, so go ahead, throw a punch. Hoo, block, block, block. Like,
no, he like when I first started watching Gotham, I'm like, I don't know about this guy. And then I was like, dude, this guy is awesome.
They should have made him Alfred in the movies.
But he almost looks like, and this is going to sound stupid, but like, I know the Simpsons have used it and it's been on other shows. Yes! That guy, that's what their guy looked like.
He definitely does.
I mean, he didn't have the voice. He didn't have the annoying, like, voice or anything, but he did have the look of that typical like, yes.
And here's the thing too. All the years, and I'm not saying I'm like, oh, I've got years and decades of Batman reading under my belt, but since I've been an active reader of Batman comics, I went and grabbed a Nightwing story from like the 80s at the library, and I read it, and I remember liking it. It was pretty good, but that was the first time in my life in a Nightwing story that I ever heard anything about Alfred having anything other than a butler past. I was under the impression that Alfred was the butler for the Waynes, taking over from his father, who was the butler for Thomas Wayne back in like 1910, or whoever Thomas Wayne's father was, who I believe was also Thomas Wayne. Thomas Wayne the first, and then there was Thomas Wayne the son, and there was Bruce Wayne the current, and now Damian.
And then soon to be Damon.
Damon Wayans, yes. Well, I wonder if that's where they got it from. That'd be horrible. That would ruin it for me, because the Wayans brothers just are terrible these days. Do I'm going to get you sucker too? Then we'll talk. Anyway, but that Nightwing story was the first time, because there's a part in that story where Alfred goes back to London to for vacation, and he meets up with an old girlfriend from back when he was in college, and they start talking about, oh, you remember your time in MI5, and he starts talking about all these like James Bond adventures he went on. I'm like, what? Alfred was like a MI5 like super spy? I didn't know that. And they never used it in any of the movies until Gotham comes out, and then Ben Pertwee is like, yeah, ooh, I used to fight all kinds of ninjas on moving trains. I was like, this guy's the best. So yeah, like at this point, I think they should ditch the old creepy John Waters mustache, balding, you know, quiet, reserved Alfred, and go with the more grizzled British former badass version, because to me, that's the best Alfred now, because you like the guy that's all like prim and proper, but he'll like kick the shit out of you if you like cross him out in public. Like,
I agree.
I like to see him walking around with a little bowler hat, a little bag of groceries, and, you know, well, some random Batman villain jumps out, and all of a sudden he quietly puts down the bag of groceries and does a little shoe to the wrist, and knives come out of the cuffs, and he starts...
Settle down.
I'm like a Ninja Alfred, right? I'm just saying.
No, I know.
Like Bond meets Man from U.N.C.L.E. meets... Ah, damn it. I don't know, Walton Goggins and the Hateful Eight?
So, since this was your pick, do you have any random questions?
Actually, I got nothing this week, truthfully.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird with some of these animated movies. Like, they're good at what, you know, but they're not, like, super-duper, like, deep and involved. I guess, maybe.
This wasn't deep and involved?
I don't know.
I felt like it was.
Well, then think of a question. No, you don't have to. I'm just saying.
All right, what other conspiracies would be interesting to discuss in a Batman movie?
What conspiracy was in here? Oh, you want to go with the whole Secret Society
thing? Secret Society, Illuminati.
Wasn't that what 90% of conspiracy theories are?
Oh, they all stem from that. Yeah, but I mean, maybe they did like an episode where...
they go against HARP?
That'd be interesting. The Joker gets a hold of the harp.
Or stuff. One of them, yeah.
Or, like, the Riddler becomes the Manchurian candidate. I don't know. I don't know. What's a good one? Lizard people?
I have no idea.
That could be interesting.
Couldn't tell you. Okay, so...
I think it would be interesting if they delve deeper, and I've heard that the Court of Owls villain persona has become so popular that they anticipate that over time they will appear in more Batman stories. And it all kind of started from the pre-New 52 book, Gates of Gotham, where it's essentially a look back at the building of Gotham as they know it, and there were five bridges commissioned by the five richest families in Gotham, being the Waynes, the Cobblepots, and there were three others I can't remember, and I believe the woman from this movie, her family was one of the five families. And each family... well, I mean, the Mafia plays a whole different role in
I know.
Gotham. They're like the second tier of like controlling families, whereas the five elite families really run Gotham. But it'd be interesting to go back, and they kind of hinted at this in a novel that I read called Wayne of Gotham, where there were suggestions that Thomas Wayne's father actually was deeply embedded in like secret groups that conspired to move the city in certain directions.
It only makes sense. I mean, the first billionaires of you know, Gotham, of course they're going to be... If anyone's family is part of that secret society stuff, it would be Wayne family.
Well, even in All-Star Western and some of the other Batman comics, they've touched on the Wayne family being embedded in Gotham since the Pilgrims came to America.
Right.
So, you can get all kinds of wacky weird with that stuff.
I agree. Okay, so how are you looking number-wise?
I'm going to give this a 9. I was excited to watch this. I was excited to finally get it, and it didn't let me down at all. And plus, I watched some of the special features, and they get into the whole how they married the whole Illuminati, secret society, pyramids, lizard people thing with the Batman mythos, and I was like, that's super interesting, and it totally fits. Plus, Greg Capullo starts getting weird with some of his own beliefs. I was like, oh, God, here he goes. I was like, just making me like this guy even more. He's like, well, you know, we're all basically puppets and the moon landing wasn't real. I'm like, yes.
Wow.
Not specifically those things. But,
oh, okay.
But like, he starts hinting at, yeah, this stuff's real, man. Don't buy the lie. And I was like, yes.
Wow.
He's going to get fired?
No, he's not. People that have that kind of a mind just are super creative and they write really awesome stuff. So go nuts, man.
No, I agree. I like seeing this kind of thing mentioned in comics because, you know, you're not going to get it in a Tom Clancy novel. You're just going to go,
how do you know? Have you ever read one?
It's all guys with beards with giant bombs trying to blow up America. And I mean, some dude has to step up because America rules. Ted Nugent. Wow.
Really long, don't to get a bomb. Yeah, you know, I'm not quite at a 9. I'm more maybe at an 8. But I, yeah, it was just super awesome to be finally have some kind of introduction to the Court of Owls, which now I have to put on my short list because it really is a very intriguing story.
Get the one with the Eyes Wide Shut mask.
Oh, I'm totally going to, and I'm going to wear it while I read it, and I'm going to read it at work.
I'm going to wear it out. If I ever go on a date again, I'll wear it on my first date, and I'll be like, if you get past this, then we're good.
Right.
She'll be like, get away from me.
She'll be like, shut up. She'll pull one out of her purse and put it on.
She'll be like, she'll say, get away from me. She'll turn her phone around as the 911's on screen. She'll have her finger just like a centimeter above the call button, and she'll be like, you have 5 seconds to get up and leave before I press this. 911, can I take your call? Yeah, guy with an owl mask is bothering me.
Guy in an owl mask is trying to court me.
Whoa!
Get it?
Gazinga bing bling
ling. Bing bang zoom. Do we know what we're doing next week? Oh, it's my pick next week.
It's your pick next week. Okay, I think I have a couple ideas for my next pick, but I won't reveal them right now.
Because we're on my pick. So, yeah, I have no clue what it's going to be, so we're just going to have to keep you guys all in suspense.
Maybe it'll be The Revenant.
Unless people want to tweet us and maybe tell us what they want us to watch, and then maybe we'll get in on that and do some of that stuff. So, until next time, you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX, and you can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. Don't forget to check out ReviewAndRoast.com, where you can read reviews of a lot of the, nerdy stuff that we do, whether it be movies, comic books, board games, video games. Join the community, write your own reviews, let's have some fun. We will see you next week.
You are now leading the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.